This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to hasten the homecoming and buy victory bonds. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Tuesday, May 1st, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Morgan Murphy has tonight's editorial. And the draft board chairman will be coming in, no doubt, to order us to do something.
It's for a good cause. It's a part of the blood drive.
Over the years, he's said that he doesn't care for my blood. But this time I'm glad he'll be here. I've got a little surprise.
The draft board guy, he hates surprises.
Deep down, I'm sure he's got a sense of humor.
I don't think he's deep. I advise against any surprises.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the Palace Market, where they have 2 pounds of smoked liver sausage. My favorite, for just 35 cents. The Palace Market at 21st and Tower, with free delivery. Here's Lou and what's new.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Churchill hints that VE Day may come by this weekend. The Red Army opens their final push in a gory Berlin battle. Mussolini is killed, and another horror camp is discovered. Dachau tops them all in savagery. Now our shortwave world roundup from London.
This is London calling. Webb Miller, your correspondent. Prime Minister Winston Churchill hinted today that a peace announcement in Europe may come before Saturday. He answered questions before a packed House of Commons while Swedish Count Folk Bernadotte conferred in Stockholm with Swedish Undersecretary Erik Bohman. Bernadotte refused to tell newsmen whether he had a new surrender offer from Nazi SS Chief Heinrich Himmler. Replying to a House member's question, Mr. Churchill said, quoting now, "I have no special statement to make except that things are definitely more satisfactory now than it was at this time 5 years ago." Should information of importance reach His Majesty's government during the 4 days of our sittings this week, as it might do, I will ask Mr. Speaker's permission to interrupt business for a brief announcement. The Free Danish Underground reports German troops are moving out of Copenhagen, perhaps abandoning Denmark. These same sources say a conference between Swedes, Danes, and Germans is taking place at King Christian's Castle in Copenhagen. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Germany. Come in, Berlin.
This is Berlin, a city in its death throes. Eddie Gilmore reporting. Victory flush Soviet troops made a supreme bid to deal a death blow to flaming Berlin on this May Day. In the words of Marshal Joseph Stalin, this is the final assault. Soviet troops are closing in on the Tea Garden, core of the last-ditch Nazi defense. That fortress is getting low on food, water, and ammunition. A front dispatch to the Red Star Army newspaper says the fighting has been transferred to the center of Berlin. The Nazis are most desperate to hold their last line of defense. Dozens of suicides were reported as the Red Army closed in on Tea Garden Fortress. Nazi officers draped themselves over their machine guns while wrapping themselves in Nazi banners. Soviet units, which captured the Reichstag and Himmler's interior ministry, hammered south to the Tea Garden. A junction with Marshal Ivan Konev's 1st Ukrainian Army and Marshal Gregory Zhukov's 1st White Russian Army is imminent. A Red Army banner now floats over the smoking ruins of the Reichstag, where Hitler rose to power from the ashes of the Reichstag fire in 1933. In Berlin, this is Eddie Gilmore calling Max Jordan in Munich.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in newly captured Munich. General Dwight D. Eisenhower declared the capture of Munich the largest German city to fall to date. In a terse order of the day, quoting now, to every member of the Allied Expeditionary Force, The whole EEF congratulates the 7th Army on the seizure of Munich, the cradle of the Nazi beast. End quote. His appellation of beast possibly arose from fresh disclosures of horror at the nearby Dachau prison camp, freed just before Munich fell. Lieutenant General Alexander Patch, the hero of Guadalcanal, is the conqueror of Munich, third largest city of Germany with 828,000 citizens. Munich, a major aircraft-making center, lay now in ruins. In the smoldering Third Reich, this is Max Jordan calling Dachau, Germany. Come in, Louis Lochner.
This is Dachau, Germany. Louis P. Lochner here. Every soldier, every officer, and every war correspondent attached to the 42nd Rainbow Division of the U.S. 7th Army today has one word seared into his soul. Dachau. It represents the last savagery, depravity, sadism, and inhumanity. Here, human beings were experimented on as if they were guinea pigs. They were eliminated by slow starvation, and their bodies burned in a gigantic crematorium. 35 railway cars loaded with emaciated corpses, literally to the skin and bones, are lined up outside the camp. Among Dachau's 32,000 inmates are some 1,400 living corpses. These are the survivors of about 4,000 who had been shipped from Buchenwald before the Allies captured that northern concentration camp. They had been squeezed like cattle into freight cars, where they were kept for 21 days, 80 to a car. In the crematory, there was a stench that made the strongest men turn pale and flee to the outside for air. In two rooms of this institution were naked bodies, bearing the signs of horrible torture piled to the ceiling. The SS elite guard had been unable to complete their task of burning the bodies, though they worked in shifts of 30 and kept at it day and night. There is evidence that scientific experimentation of human beings had been done to study the various effects of gas, varying air pressure, degrees of cold, and serum. In February alone, 6,204 deaths were officially recorded at Dachau from execution and other causes. More than 4,000 of them were Jews. In Dachau, Germany, this is Louis P. Lochner. Call in Italy. Come in, Milan.
This is Milan, Italy. Stan Turner, your correspondent. Benito Mussolini and his mistress, Clara Petacci, were secretly buried in an unmarked grave in a potter's field late last night. Spat upon and cursed, the body of Mussolini was the object of the Italian people's vengeful wrath yesterday. El Duce promised his people a place in the sun and instead brought defeat and misery. The former Italian dictator, his beautiful young mistress, and 17 fascist leaders were shot to death by Italian patriots near Como Saturday afternoon. The gang was attempting to flee to Switzerland. On Sunday, the corpse of the 61-year-old former dictator was hung by the heels in the Piazza Martiri in Milan. After his capture Friday by Italian partisans, Mussolini spent his last night alive in a cell in what was described as a very agitated state, asking, "Why is no one here to defend me?" and promising, "Save my life and I will give you an empire." His final words were shouting, "No, no," to the firing squad. The only witness to his ignominious burial were members of the cemetery staff who were sworn to secrecy. In Milan, this is Stan Turner.
The Tokyo newspaper, the Nippon Sangyo, says Japan will fight on regardless of what happens in Europe, even if it means 10 million lives lost. What is being called a strong Australian force is invading oil-rich Borneo. Aussie military commanders say the reconquest of Southwest Pacific Islands is underway. Heavy fighting against Japanese troops is reported on the beaches of Tarakan, a rich Netherlands oil port. Americans are being told that a decent diet is still possible, even though sugar rations are being slashed 25%. Presidential food scout Samuel Rossman says the United States needs to supply a substantial share of civilian food in northwestern Europe. That will cut into supplies on the home front. Millions of people are undernourished, if not actually starving, in Europe. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these important words from our sponsor.
This war can't end soon enough, Lou. This human race can't take much more of what people like Hitler and Mussolini dished out. Death camps and suicide stands and craziness like that. I feel lucky we can even talk about a place like the Palace Market. And so I will. Palace Market, Tower at 21st Street. Dial 665, because they deliver. And they're a Fairway store. You're ahead of the game right there. They have eggs on sale right now. Large, fresh, cartons, a dozen, 39 cents. How about that? Bacon, 1 half-pound package. Swift's. Cost you 3 points on rationing, but it's only 20 cents for that half-pound. Polish sausage. Any Poles out there? 4 points per pound, 35 cents. Now, listen to this. You fish eaters, and I'm one of those. Lake Superior herring, trout, pike, fillet, oysters, codfish, anchovies, pickled herring. No points. How about that? Want something to drink with your meal? How about some coffee? They've got leading brands, a pound, 31 cents. I don't know how they do it, but they do it at the Palace Market Tower at 21st Street in Superior, a Fairway store. Lou?
The casualty list for our region is short today. Sergeant Donald Owen McKinnon of Ashland was reported wounded in fighting in Germany April the 17th. The 21-year-old McKinnon graduated from DePadua High School in 1942, entered the service in 1943. Private Leo DeBruni of Superior has been taken prisoner of war in Germany. He's the husband of Mrs. Jean DeBruni. One of the first four American casualties on Okinawa will be flown from the Pacific to California. He's a Superior man. Aviation machinist mate George Blair was flown 7,000 miles to seek better medical attention. Mrs. Gertrude Reynolds of Superior has been given a Marine Medal for her dead son. Hayes Reynolds was a merchant marine. He lost his life when his ship, the SS Henry Mallory, was torpedoed and sank in 1943. A missing Wentworth bombardier reported missing in action in Italy is safe. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
The mailman is a hero for Mr. and Mrs. John Soderlund today, Lou. The Wentworth couple got a letter about their son, Staff Sergeant Donald Soderlund. His mom and dad have been on pins and needles since getting word that he was shot down over northern Italy March 23rd. The bombardier was with the 380th Bombardier Squadron of the Army Air Force. He returned to Allied lines uninjured. And let me read you a letter from his general that also came today. It says, I am indeed happy to welcome back this flyer whose resourcefulness and determination have marked him a leader of courageous men. Your son evaded capture behind enemy lines. He returned after 21 days of constant danger and hardship. He has shown exceptional aggressiveness and devotion to his duty. I'm happy to report that Sergeant Soderlund will be returned to the United States for a well-merited rest. You may expect him home for a visit soon. Sergeant Soderlund does deserve a vacation, Lou. He's flown 60 missions since July of 1944.
Well, thanks, Mike. Tech 5 Sergeant James Susans of PATSU wrote that he had a real thriller during the Battle of the Bulge in December. As Nazi forces overran Allied positions in the Ardennes, Sergeant Susans and his men of Battery B with the famous 30 Old Hickory Division drove behind enemy lines. Their objective was to retrieve ammunition from a dump in the Belgium Bulge. In spite of a narrow road and pitch-black darkness, and of course no headlights could be used, Sergeant Susans and his mate retrieved the badly needed ammo. Sergeant Susans has been awarded the Bronze Star. And finally, this good note, too. The Superior United Nations Clothing Relief Drive surpassed its quota. Chairman R.E. Vince says they received more than 5 pounds of clothing per person. Now comes the tough part. Today they started sorting and folding all those clothes to go to the war refugees in Europe.
Some lucky guy is going to get my stuff. I hope my plaid sweaters keep some people warm.
You own the only clothing that I know of that clashes with everything.
Well, thanks, Lou Martin, who secretly wishes he looked good in plaid. Now let's check our forecast for this Tuesday evening, May the 1st, 1945. Warming temperatures and cloudy skies tonight. Tomorrow we could get some thunder boomers. Tonight's low will be 38 with tomorrow's high near 60. And it's music time. Here's Johnny Mercer's newest from the 1945 hit parade. This is on the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe on the Martin and McKenna Woo Woo Show.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day. From the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, here she comes. Ooh, 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 ooh. Hey Jim, you better get the rig. Ooh, she's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
All aboard! All aboard!
Let her rip, let her rip, Mr. Engineer. Gotta go far away from here. While the man at the fire shovels on the coal, stick your head out the cab, watch the driving roll. See the towns and the roads go whizzing by. Fare thee well, Laramie, Albuquerque, hi. Yes, sirree, here we are going all the way.
Watch the quit till we hit California.
It's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell.
All the way from Philadelphia,
on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Johnny Mercer, and on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Ladies, we have this announcement from the civilian defense block leaders. My mother was a blockhead. They'll be taking sugar applications for your canning needs. Applications for housewives who need sweeteners for their fruit and berry preserves can go to one of these schools from 1 to 4 o'clock tomorrow. Civilian defense block leaders will be at the Itasca, Howe, Cooper, Blaine, Franklin, Carpenter, and East School, all aboard. You'll have to surrender stamp number 13 in your ration book, ladies. Well, on with the music, friends. This is from a new crooner who I think you'll like. Especially you gals out there. Let's enjoy Perry Como until the end of time on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Stars are in the blue, long as there's a spring of bird to sing, I'll go on loving you till the end of time, long as roses bloom in May, my love for you deeper with every passing day till the world. and each mountain disappears. I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say that I'm the one you love and live for till the end of time. Each mountain disappears. I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say, till the end of time.
Harry Como, and Till the End of Time on station KUWS.
Let me introduce Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy with tonight's editorial. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Lou, my good friend. What you been up to?
Not too much. And yourself?
Oh, been busy, 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 busy.
A regular busy bee with a buzz to go with it, I think.
It appears that way.
I just got back from a club. All the fellas are shipping in to help the county buy that mobile x-ray thing, truck. It's to fight tuberculosis. Tuberculosis.
Seems to be an echo in here.
At the club, you say?
Our club raised more money than the eagles, the elks, the moose, or for that matter, raccoons.
There really aren't any raccoons.
Now, tonight's editorial.
Sure, sure, sure. It's entitled, Let's Observe VE Day Soberly.
Ironic.
This'll be good.
If Americans needed further arguments to convince them that VA Day should be a sober and prayerful observance rather than hooping it up and those kind of antics, a moment's reflection on the San Francisco scene would suffice. This did not refer to the scene in the auditorium where the world's great strive to find a formula for people to stop killing each other. It is the more humble scene at the waterfront. There, hospital ships quietly tie up to the wharves and carefully transfer to waiting trains the boys that have done brave battle in the Pacific Islands. Many are ill and others are maimed, never the same again. Those of us who appreciate the full significance of this will have little spirit for boisterous celebration on VE Day. Many of the long-suffering troops in Europe will be shipped to the Holocaust in the Orient. That battle is yet to enter its most decisive and costliest phase, the invasion of Japan itself. Lou, Lou.
Important words. Thank you, Mr. Morgan Murphy, publisher of the Superior Evening Telegram.
Good night now.
Sleep tight.
Sleep tight?
He's tight enough as it is. Those wild boys at the club, I especially liked it when he called you Lulu. We've got the dreaded draft board chairman in next, folks. He's always a hoot. Now let's hear from Charlie Barnett and Cherokee on the Lulu Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. Johnny Barnett and Cherokee on Station KUWS.
All right. Mr. Hoot is here, McCorkle.
That would be Colonel Hoot.
Why, Lou, you cracked wise.
Frickin' frack as usual.
I'm sorry, Colonel. Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Joe Raffaele.
Hey, I bumped into that newspaper guy as he was bumping out the hallway going down the steps. What's up with him? You weren't ready for that one, were you, McCorkle? Threw you a curve, didn't I, boy?
He's bumping into a few things tonight.
But he's a heck of a guy. I mean, he's been raising money for that X-ray Z gun, and I convinced him to give blood.
It's liable to be pickled.
What a guy. I mean, a real Philadelphia philanthropist. You know what I mean. He likes to spread his dough around. All right, listen up, people. My job is to get every able-bodied man and woman to roll up his sleeve and give blood.
Or her sleeve.
What?
His or her sleeve.
It's one or the other, McMartin. It can't be both. There's some people down on the north end of town that can be both. Anywho, the colonel isn't going to be trying any of that persuasion thing. No. Instead, I'm going to read a letter from a local boy who's fighting in Okinawa. It's from pharmacist first mate Barney Kempton to his mom. Dear Mom, I suppose you've been wondering why you haven't heard from me. You know, these darn kids, I mean, they're not writing their dear old mom. Don't they know Mom's worry?
He wrote that?
No, I wrote that.
You mean you said that?
Thinking out loud, McMartin. Come on. Anywho, dear Mom, I suppose you've been wondering why you haven't heard from me. Well, we're on another invasion. Good kid. I love kids who invade. I just do. We've invaded Okinawa Jima Island. It's the fifth day of the invasion, and I'm still fine. Just hang in there, Barney. Just hang in there. I've walked over a lot of mountains in 5 days, and I hope there are no more. Give my love to everyone, and don't worry, Mom. As God and the Virgin Mary are watching over me. Good God-fearing kid. I hope this is my last operation over here. I'll tell you about it when I get home, okay? Okay. God bless you, your loving son, Barney. Need I say more? Well,
no, sir, Colonel.
Then get down to the mobile blood unit at Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church and give a pint pronto. For that matter, join the Gallon Club and give even more.
Gallon Club? Oh, wow. This one's for Barney Kempton and Mom Kempton. This is Betty Goodman. And the Angels Sing on the Martin and McCorkle Show.
We meet and the angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard. You speak and the angels sing. Undiscovered shore. Then suddenly I see it all change. Long winter nights with the candles gleaming. Through it all, your face that I adore. You smile and the angels sing. And though it's just a gentle murmur,
Benny Goodman and his orchestra with Lilton Martha Tilton and the Angels Sing on station KUWS. Hey, Colonel, check this out. I'm going to give blood right now, live on the air.
What on earth?
Hey, you cracked or something.
Excuse me, I'm calling an ambulance.
Just tie this around my arm. Make a fist.
Stop. Giving blood isn't a do-it-yourself kind of thing.
Just a poke here and a jab in the old venerable.
The colonel doesn't like the sight of blood, even McCorkle's blood.
A nurse is on the way. She's just down the hall here at the college.
Good thing I'm kind of wobbly, you know, woozy. My legs, they get rubbery during these times.
Oh, my gosh. I hit a red geyser.
The colonel's going down.
That's just ketchup.
No, it isn't. It's catsup. Sup, not chup. Just kidding, Colonel.
Not blood?
Hello, the nurse is here.
In the nick of time. Right this way.
But I don't need a nurse. It's just catsup. A gag.
I hate gags.
Don't look at your arm, Jack. You really did poke yourself.
That's real blood. Getting woozy again.
Put your head between your knees.
How's that gonna stop my bleeding? I'm bleeding here.
I've got it now, Mr. McKenna. You're okay now.
A fine mess you've made. I've got ketchup on my shirt, and the colonel's fainted.
I did not faint. Colonels don't faint. But they do get even with jokers like you two.
And we're in trouble with the guy who can draft us.
Jeez, what a show. They don't have anything like this at KDAL. Well, that's it, folks. Stay tuned for the Alan Young Show, Bob Hope, and One Man's Family. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing.
And you don't get tetanus.
And I don't get tetanus? For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna urging one and all to give blood.
But don't do it yourself. What a nut.
And I did not faint.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Joel Anderson, John Munsell, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.